Hi, I'm Catherine Marr, President and CEO of NPR. Thank you for supporting WSHU. Your donations are the reason we can keep bringing you the trusted news and engaging stories you crave and the beautiful music you enjoy. Public radio thrives because of listeners like you, and your generosity allows us to continue delivering high-quality programming week in and week out. Thank you for making a difference and keeping public radio strong.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Early voting in Connecticut begins tomorrow. State grants will fund upgrades for a handful of Suffolk County libraries. The city of New Haven ended the last fiscal year with a surplus. And the surprising place shorebirds make a stop in New England. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Voting officially begins in Connecticut tomorrow. Town clerks can now make absentee ballots available to eligible voters and accept completed ballots. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Under Connecticut law, only voters who are active members of the U.S. military will be out of town on Election Day or prevented by sickness or some other reasons can use absentee ballots. Jacqueline Cosine is Deputy Secretary of the State.
These are the first ballots that are available, so someone can go into their town clerk's office and vote right then and there if they're not going to be in town or they have an illness.
And now, for the first time, all Connecticut voters will be able to participate in 14 days of early voting beginning on October 21st.
Individuals will go to their early voting location and get a ballot. Their registration will be confirmed, and they will be marked as voting early at the location, and they will be kept separate from absentee ballots so that they can be counted on election day.
Most towns will have their early voting location at their town clerk's office. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Four Suffolk County libraries have been awarded over $400,000 to upgrade their facilities. New York State Senator Monica Martinez announced the funding. She noted some of the buildings are more than 60 years old. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has details.
The libraries in Babylon, West Babylon, Deer Park, and West Islip will use the money for critical infrastructure projects like roof repairs and new HVAC units.
Funding comes from a state program that issues grants for library construction. The city of New Haven ended the last fiscal year with a significant budget surplus. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports they're planning to use part of it to avoid layoffs in the school district.
The city announced it had a surplus of more than $16 million. This comes just days after rallies for more federal and state funding at schools across the city. Mayor Justin Elliker says he wants to put $3 million towards the city's schools and put the rest in the rainy day fund.
We felt that $3 million could help her ensure that we maintain staffing levels from this point on in New Haven Public Schools, so that she wouldn't have to make massive layoffs and cuts in the school system.
The transfer has to be approved by the city's Board of Alders. $5.5 million from the American Rescue Plan Act was also left over from last year's budget. That money will go to the schools as well. It will be used for building maintenance and upgrades. 39 out of 41 schools are in need of serious repair, according to the city. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Birders are flocking to Lake Champlain in Vermont to catch a glimpse of migrating shorebirds. That story is coming up.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthcare.org.
So Suffolk County officials have debuted a handheld drug scanning device that they can quickly identify over 500 substances, including fentanyl. The detector, called TruNarc, allows first responders to analyze drugs at the scene without exposing themselves or contaminating evidence. Ed Romaine is Suffolk County executive.
This is a huge breakthrough, and it protects those in law enforcement and others who might come in contact with a drug that might be fatal.
The detectors can perform scans through glass and plastic packaging. Officials say more than 400 Suffolk County residents die every year from drug overdoses, largely due to synthetic opioids like fentanyl. FEMA has opened an office at the Southbury Town Hall for business owners and residents to apply for federal aid following August's floods. As of yesterday, FEMA representatives say they've given out $3.7 million to more than 1,100 residents. An associate of the MS-13 gang on Long Island has been sentenced to 50 years in prison for her role in luring four young men to their deaths back in 2017. 24-year-old Lanice Escobar was convicted of luring the men into a park where they were hacked to death with machetes for allegedly disrespecting the gang. Vermont is the only state in New England with no ocean coastline, but every year, ocean birds visit the Green Mountain State as they migrate over Lake Champlain. Vermont Public's Lexi Krupp joined a group of birders who went out in search of seabirds over 100 miles from the Atlantic Ocean.
Everything you see here right now are ring-billed gulls, different age classes. What's this coming in? It's coming in fast. Oh, another ring-billed gull.
Chip Darmstadt of Burlington stands on the deck of the University of Vermont's research vessel. It's a bright, cloudless morning in September, and today's trip is more of a pleasure cruise than scientific expedition. Two dozen passengers are armed with binoculars and cameras looking for birds you might expect to find over the Atlantic, not some 200 miles away in Vermont. There's a strategy for attracting these ocean birds to the boat. Someone stands on the stern, tossing out cheese puffs. It doesn't take long for a flock of gulls to gather. And with these gulls comes the possibility of other, more rare birds, like the parasitic Jaeger. It looks like a big gull, about the size of a crow.
Well, just the name, parasitic Jaeger, you know, they're known for being kleptoparasites. They harass other birds and steal their food. So part of the reason to chum for the gulls is the gulls might attract other more rare gulls, but also Jaegers if they're in the neighborhood.
And I didn't know that gulls like cheese puffs.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't, you know?
These boat rides started about a decade ago, organized by a birder named Alan Strong. He's a professor at the University of Vermont, where he studies bird ecology and conservation. He knew that migrating birds use Lake Champlain as a passageway to the ocean, and he wanted to try to see them.
Things like northern gannets or scoters, red-throated loons. These are birds that even if you're on the Atlantic coast, you don't actually see all that often. So it's very, really very cool.
He's been leading the trips every year. He says some have been sort of boring. And then there's other days.
There have been some of those days where the rare birds, in particular the Jaegers that we're looking for, have, you know, literally been flying right around the boat or landed right beside the boat. And it's just awesome.
The Jaegers. A bunch of people talked about why these birds are so special, like Bernard Foy of Danville.
So here we're really hoping for the Jaegers. Which are also really quite amazing because they've come quite a few thousand miles to get here.
For one thing, they're kind of rare here, but it's really exciting when you see them. And then they're not very nice. Like if a gull has some food, they'll go after the gull and make them drop it, and they'll steal it.
Rue Slagle from Belvedere has been coming on these trips for years.
One year, I think we counted, it was near 200 loons. It's like, what? That many loons? So you never know what you're going to see.
For Rue, that not knowing what you're going to see, it sort of changed her life.
It makes getting up in the morning kind of more fun. especially this time of year.
Everything's migrating right now. Warblers, hawks, shorebirds, seabirds, yeah. So this is the time to be out for sure.
That's Chip Darmstadt again. And there's something magical about all these birds traveling thousands of miles to make for warmer climes. Here's Bernard Foy.
It's still just mystifying to me that something so small like a ruby-throated hummingbird can cross continents and cross the Gulf of Mexico. It doesn't seem possible. You know, it's just a miracle of nature.
After 4 hours of cruising Lake Champlain, the crew didn't see any Jaegers. But there were migrating shorebirds, like red-necked phalaropes and ruddy turnstones. A bald eagle flew across the lake, and hundreds of cormorants lined the rocky cliffs of the Four Brothers Islands.
Right there.
For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Lexi Crow.
See, now I know what's going to happen.
For the latest news from the Long Island Sound region, you can listen on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And thank you so much to everybody who donated during WSHU's fall fundraising drive. We actually surpassed our goal this time around, which is super cool. So as always, thank you so much for your support, whether it's financially or sharing this podcast with your friends. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day. I will speak to you tomorrow.